to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, hitting firewalled hoe. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. To CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RANs, SIPs, SIPs. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Binary Revolution Radio episode 84. Damn, already 84 episodes. I don't know how you can do this, what, 80 times? I can't even do this 2 times.
Well, technically, one episode's, quote, lost.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know where that is.
Well, I'd say 81 or 82 times he's done this show, so I don't know, man. This is the second one, and I'm already tired. But we're coming at you February 22nd, 2005, and that voice you heard was Lucky.
Lucky 225, of course.
That's right, because no one else wanted to co-host with me. So, no, I'm just playing with you. Second week, hosting Ben Rev, both of us, actually.
That's right.
I did get a lot of good feedback of last week's show. They really liked just hearing us and hearing us ramble on, so...
We did, because I only see 3 emails here in the email bag.
Well, I'm talking about last week's show. They commented on our last week's show. They liked, so...
Okay.
I wish the show was up for download, though, because otherwise we would have a lot more email. Right now, we have barely any email to read, so hopefully we can fill up the space somehow. But, yeah, Stink Dog, he couldn't put it up. He was busy, of course, so he didn't have time to put it up. But we got some email about their Call of Duty talk last week from just one guy, so...
Yeah. One noob.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. This guy's pretty cool.
You would agree with him. So before we get into that, let's play the email theme.
BenRev.com.
All right, our first email is from Flipping Pages here. I actually printed the show notes on actual paper. Shaga, thank you, Lucky. What are you reading?
I'm reading the show notes, man.
I forgot. Yeah,
you're the host here. Shouldn't you be prepared?
No, but you should read the email too. You can read the email too. You're the co-host. You're not just. I'm not the host. We're co-hosts.
I'm not supposed to read the email, dude. The host does that.
Stank Dog always has the co-host read the email.
I've never once read the email. What are you talking about,
dude? This
Stank Dog always reads it.
Dude, he's let me read email before.
All right.
I'm
only reading this one though.
Yeah, well, it's because, you know, your topic, mainly, so that's why I want you to read it.
Okay. I won't ignore calls because of caller ID, but I do like to have some idea of who I am about to talk to. If it is somebody I don't want to talk to, or if it's blocked, I will still probably answer. I do see Lucky's point of view, where you want to block your number from going through, but I don't think people should ignore calls because of who it says is supposedly calling. Shoggin.
All right.
I might have added that supposedly in his email.
Okay, I thought so. Because that's not what's on my copy here. But anyways, I got rid of my caller ID boxes. All of them.
You did?
I've got really? I've even bought new phones now where I don't even care if caller ID call. I used to be so anal about this. Like, I want my phone to have caller ID call waiting. Not just caller ID, I want caller ID call waiting. And I don't even care anymore. I don't even deal with caller ID.
Really? Last week, I mean, you were...
Last week, I totally had a strong point of view, but you know what? I'm trying this, because to me, I tried to make my point, it's not that big of a deal.
It's not. And
it's not.
What I tried to, you know, I forgot to mention this last week.
Go ahead.
Just throw a PBX on your POTS line.
That's...
And, you know, you can have extensions that forward to extensions, and then you can just give people you don't like the one extension, and then if they become a problem, you just erase that extension. They can't contact you anymore.
That is a good idea. There's this one that's like the cheapest one I found. It's hard to find on eBay because they do raise up because they're always selling with tons of phones and everything. But it's a Panasonic, not exactly sure the model number. I know there's a 616, a T616 in it, just like the Sony phone. But it is the best one that I've seen because it's so simple. Scott, our friend Scott from the SoCal Bridge, has that.
Yeah.
And you just call it up. You can have any kind of greeting you want. Just give your extension to people you know. That way you don't have to worry about telemarketers or just, you know, random calls. And if someone gets your number and harasses you, that's why you have extensions. Just change the extensions. Change the extensions and you're all set to go. You know, you can just set up a greeting. Enter your extension. If you do not have one, just hang up, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, even if a telemarketer somehow gets the extension, you'll know who sold that information to the telemarketer by what extension they dialed.
Exactly.
I mean...
Yeah, it's seriously, it's the best solution. So,
and... Yeah, yeah. So, you know, fuck caller ID. We don't say that on this show very much, but... I'm just saying, throw a PBX on your line. You don't need caller ID.
Yeah, and you don't have to have expensive equipment, just one PBX. You can hook up your normal phone. You need at least one digital phone so you can configure and change settings and everything, but you can have your normal cordless phones hooked up to them. They're real easy to set up. Or, like most people these days, set up Asterisk. You can set up Asterisk with extensions. So
yeah.
Don't even... Yeah.
Or if you really want to go out, go with VoicePulse and get virtual numbers.
Yeah, you can give out virtual numbers. Those are cheap.
Yeah.
And you can have call forwarding for each one, you know, different numbers for different things. It's cheap. So, yeah, no need for caller ID. I'm doing pretty well. I still have caller ID on my cell phone because you can't get rid of that. But I don't look at it really. I don't, you know, I just answer. Like, I don't even bother looking. I just open the flip and there you go. So, let's see how long that'll last.
Yeah.
Although you did call me earlier today and I kind of ignored it, but.
Oh, is that so?
But,
Well, that's because it was accident's number that was showing up. See, there you go with that caller ID.
Yeah.
It was accident. You thought it was accident calling, but it was really me.
That's going to be the one problem is when I'm going to try to, like, to ignore caller ID, but there's still times that there are certain people that I know damn well it's them because I know they're not spoofing. I know they're not related to anything spoofing, and there's certain people I still don't want to talk to. So probably what I'll just do is not give out my number to anyone except...
Except who
I want to, yeah. I'll just give other people a voicemail number. I think that's going to be the easy solution. Just give them voicemail numbers.
Yeah, or get a pager or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a... The only thing I use my caller D-Box for is my new phone line. Because I have both a new phone DID, which is a Michigan number, and I have a toll-free number. And the useful thing about that is if they call the toll-free number on the name field, it'll show up as toll-free call. So I know if I'm... paying for the call or not. So that's the one useful thing. Actually, that number, 800-710-DOUG, that's on the website. It's connected in the garage right now, so if anyone ever wants to call it, I'll answer.
Oh my God.
No caller D-Box, obviously, so don't worry about it. So.
Yeah, you just go back and check your call logs.
Yeah, but that's...
Grab their CPN, right?
Yeah, that's the same... Well, nah. I don't care about numbers. I mean, Sub-Zero uses the number 2 for Geek Love Radio. Of course, they don't say it as Doug. They just say 3684 as the last 4. But, I mean, they use it for their show. We were trying to work on it last night for Geek Love Radio, but we were configuring it like 30 minutes right before the show because they had some interview and they were real busy, so we didn't get to get all the bugs and fixes done yet, so... Hopefully next show's week they'll have an actual official real call-in line and the good show going.
Yeah, maybe they can get their own 800 number, like
yeah,
710-LOVE or something.
Geek. Yeah, 710-GEEK. Yeah. There you go. Well, they were talking about, like, even Sub was mentioning he might have, like, a pre-screener, actually, like, someone to, you know, write down the questions and stuff and then patch them through. And I was like, that's actually a good idea. You could just do that.
So, yeah, there you go.
But let's go to the next email. Enough about caller ID. Caller ID's for noobs. This next email is from 31337. I don't know what that means, but subject is, oh my god, media horror. Wow, staying surprised to see you on Animal Planet. Glad to see you on national TV. Too bad you didn't say anything about binrev.com or promote your show. Cool crap, though. Is that your Hummer? Also, why didn't you mention war shitting? 31337.
We're not Stank Dog, so we can't answer his question.
I really don't know anything about this. I saw something on the forums. I guess Stank Dog was on Animal Planet. He didn't promote anything because, well... I don't know what the subject says. He's not a media whore. He's not going to be like, oh, wearing a hack TV shirt, you know? But, yeah, I guess he was on Animal Planet. He didn't promote anything, so he's not a whore. But I guess, I don't know. I don't even know why the story is. Hopefully we'll answer that next week.
Yeah. I saw some post in BinRev, actually, on the forums about Stank being on Animal Planet. And they were like, I don't know what the hell this has to do with sharks, but, all right.
Well, what did he say on there? Do you know? Like, what did they talk about or why he was on there?
I don't know. I had talked to Stank about it once. He mentioned how it related to sharks, but I don't really know.
Well, hopefully Stank will clear the whole story up next week.
Yeah, hopefully.
From Seth is Root. I think it's Seth is Root.
Yeah.
All right, dear Stank. I think, let me fix that. He says Doug. I love the show, especially episode 78 with Alonka,
yeah.
And 79 with Decius.
Yep.
Dealing with
cryptography.
Thank you, Lucky. I found the subject to be very interesting and the shows to be very informative. I have used PGP for a few years now and use
cryptography.
Now, every time I see that word, I'm going to think of you on a regular basis in military, but I've never took the time to learn how it works. I plan to do research of crypto further, whether I get some free time. Now that I've stroked your ego and get this message to be read on the air, LOL, I was thinking that maybe you could do a show on social engineering. People often overlook the aspect of hacking, and it's usually the easiest and quickest way into a system. Just a thought. Keep up the good show. I'll keep up the good job with the show. Seth is Root. Here's a PS here. I love Doc Dropper's site. I've already sponged up all the information on it. I'm currently working on a doc to submit as to not be a leech and finding time while being deployed to Iraq is difficult. Okay. Lucky.
Social engineering, huh?
Lucky, this is your field, not
field
mine.
Field of expertise.
I think social engineering is the coolest thing. And
yeah, definitely. I mean, and this kind of segues in a little bit into our show and tell about Paris Hilton, right?
Yeah, we are actually going to that area. I mean, there's not that was the last email, so enough with the email. Let's get right into social engineering.
Yeah, there are several theories right now about how this Paris Hilton hack came out.
Right.
There's
a lot. There's on the news.
And illmob.org and their zero-day folder, there was a T-Mobile exploit.zip or something like that that had a text file on how their website was actually, the Sidekick website was actually vulnerable.
Right.
And you could actually get into anyone's Sidekick account. That was back from last year, though. We think it's been patched already, so we don't think that that's likely. We think a more likely solution would be either somebody social engineered this or knew the T-Mobile hacker that got got indicted or
yeah.
Was found guilty a week before. We think that might be likely. But it said right on the website that all of the information had been obtained with social engineering on these mirrored websites of Paris Hilton's pictures and everything.
It did say that.
That's what they're claiming, is that it was all obtained through social engineering. And, you know, you might be able to find a vulnerability in T-Mobile's website to access someone's Sidekick account, but an easier way would just be to call up T-Mobile, you know, if you have the information and try and get one of their representatives to just divulge the password to you, and there you go. Hop on a wireless network.
We've been through witnesses to a lot of situations from conferences where people we don't even know that have done that, you know, it's just insane because...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You're not secure with these companies.
I was talking to a friend of mine, which will remain anonymous.
Right.
You know, and the same day the Paris Hilton hack came out, he was talking about someone that was running his mouth on a party line or something, and one of his friends pulled all his T-Mobile call logs. The guy changed his number 4 times that night. Each time they just called T-Mobile and got the new number.
All through that account number and account name.
All you got to do is get the account number, and you're basically good to go because it's like, ooh, who else would have the account number?
Well, that was the thing that they were talking about in the news with Jessica Simpson, because someone kept pulling her number. I don't know how she figured this out before Paris Hilton, but she changed the account name and the account number. And they even did, like, a thing on her reality show where she actually, like, goes, oh, they're getting my new number through the account name.
Yeah.
What, you think Paris Hilton would figure this out?
No, Paris Hilton is a noob. I mean, she's...
That's it.
I think on KevinRose.com it said that her voicemail was also vulnerable to caller ID spoofing attacks through T-Mobile.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Caller ID spoof, that was the thing. Everyone's T-Mobile is on default. Like, all these celebrities, their T-Mobile was on default.
Yeah.
And now with Covert Call and all these things going public with Tech TV, you know, showing you how to call ID spoof, these things that, you know, a couple of us have been doing for years, now everyone's been able to do this. Paris Hilton, Ashley Olsen, Jessica Simpson, Chad Musk, all these people in her address book.
They have T-Mobile.
T-Mobile. I'm betting you all of them are on default.
Well, on Kevin Rose's site, it said out of all those people, all the celebrities that had T-Mobile, only Paris Hilton herself and Vin Diesel were on default.
And I think Ashley Olsen. I don't know how I would know that, but let's just say a conversation. I don't think she has it on default.
Okay.
But, that's just the thing. I mean, we talked about this on default radio. Obviously, celebrities don't listen to default radio, but the number one thing you want to do is turn off that one feature.
Yeah.
Which is, you don't want to, you want to enter your password from your own phone.
Yeah, you always want to enter your password. Why wouldn't you want to?
Yeah,
I mean, if someone steals your phone, like, if someone steals your cell phone, now they can check your messages from your phone.
Yeah, you really...
Like, you don't even have to call her ID spoof. If someone steals your phone, now they can check your messages, too.
And they don't even have to have, like, a voicemail secret number. They hold in one or something, and they get a voicemail.
It's really quiet.
Don't be lazy. Enter your password, you know?
Yeah, seriously.
It's not that hard. So, I mean, at least with companies like Verizon and AT&T and Singular, they don't have that option at all.
No.
With their cell phones. Their landlines, I think they do, but with their cell phones, they don't even have that option. I know when I had Verizon Wireless, you always had to enter your password. There was no way to get around it. Sprint used to be just like T-Mobile. Now they have other kind of security where you got to be, like, in the same area and crap like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even so with Sprint, if they have that protection where you can't spoof caller ID, if someone still steals your Sprint phone, they can still, and they're in your area, they can still check your voicemail and everything.
Yeah, you gotta always have it. Always enter your password. Always.
Yeah, so Paris Hilton is on default.
Oh, well, anyways. Yeah, sort of.
I totally got out of social engineering.
Here.
Let's go back and. Enough about protection. Yeah, don't keep your shit on default. Next.
Yeah, social engineering. I mean, it can do a lot for you. It can get you free pizzas, as Kevin Rose has pointed out, or Accident. I think Accident called up and said he had a coupon for a free two-topping pizza, and then he went in and he was like, oh my god, I totally forgot the coupon. And it's like, well, what are we going to do with this pizza? We have to give it to him.
Yeah.
We're not going to eat it. We don't like what he likes. You know?
Exactly.
So, I mean, and there's a whole bunch of other things. Like, for instance, when I got my AT&T wireless phone, I got a TDMA phone. It wasn't GSM at first.
Right.
The sales guy tried to pressure me. He was like, oh, you don't want GSM. There's no coverage area. Oh, I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm all fine. I'll get the TDMA phone until GSM becomes available in our area.
Yeah.
Or wider spread, rather. So anyways, I get this TDMA phone, and at the same time, he's telling me, why wouldn't you want TDMA anyways? It's so much better. And I'm like, no, it's not. I'm all, GSM has far more better features. He's all, yeah, but TDMA sounds better, and why wouldn't you want it? I'm all, I wouldn't want it because somebody could clone me if they find out my ESN. He's all, there's no way anyone could find out your ESN. They need thousands of dollars in equipment. I'm all, no. All I'd have to do is drop into analog mode once, and anyone with a scanner could get it.
Yep.
But there's another way that somebody could get my ESN, even if I'm not in analog mode, and that is by social engineering.
Social engineering, yeah.
And this particular phone he sold me had a recording mode on it, so I decided to see how easy it would be to get my ESN, just to prove to this guy that you don't need thousands of dollars in equipment.
Is this the conversation you recorded years ago?
I recorded it in October of 2003.
Dude, that was the first, that was the month I first met you in person, like, from the conferences, and then that was, like, the first, hey, you gotta check this out. I was like, I don't even know who the hell you are. But anyways, go ahead.
Well, anyways, yeah, man, so I call up a local AT&T wireless store in my area.
Uh-huh.
And they answer, and they're like, AT&T Wireless Ontario. I'm like, yeah, this is John from AT&T Wireless in Chino. Are your computers up over there? They go, yeah. I'm all, oh, great. Our network's down over here, and I got a customer here who wants to do who already did an exchange on their phone. They exchanged the phones, and now they're saying that when they try to make a phone call, it says their number's not recognized on the AT&T network.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just the guy's ESN they didn't program the guy's ESN before he left with the phone. And I just wanted to make sure, but I can't check into the system what ESN he has. And they're all like, oh, okay, well, what's the mobile number? And I give him my cell phone number.
Right.
And she goes, okay, what should the ESN be? I say, you know what? The guy just left with his... He went out to his car to get the phone. Why don't you just tell me what the ESN number is? I'll write it down, and I'll check it against the phone that he has when he comes back into the store. Okay. And she just reads off the ESN to me. So, and all you need is the phone number and the ESN to clone a phone. That's all you need. And I actually have that recording on my phone still. I'll probably upload it as a WAV file or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, social engineer, like, why waste all your time trying to hack into something or buy scanners to listen to analog mode? I can just make one phone call and get the information out of whoever picks up the phone.
It's easier thing.
You know, it's real easy, especially with all this caller ID spoofing and whatnot. What the hell are you doing, Doug?
Did you hear the phone ringing?
You're not answering that on the show.
I gotta turn off my phone. Sorry about that. Continue. I forgot to turn off my cell phone. Anyways, go ahead.
Anyways, I mean, and then even with caller ID spoofing, I always wanted to spoof caller ID. That was my big thing. That's why I think we
all did, man.
Like, back when caller ID first came out, I'm like, wouldn't it be great if I could just make it appear as if any number I wanted? And, you know, that's when I learned about Annie and caller ID fail and Annie fail and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and so it all happened by accident. I called up my friend Flux, who lives in Canada, and I was calling him. I gave the operator a 710 number as where I was calling from, and this made it so that collect calls were based on where you were calling from. And 710 obviously isn't an actual area. It's a U.S. government area code. It's not a geographical area. So this would actually trick some telephone companies into not billing the customer at all.
Explain a little bit more about 71. I mean, I know, but I mean, for the audience, 710, what exactly is the area code 710 used for?
It's used for the U.S. government for a system called Government Emergency Telephone System, or GETS. Uh-huh. And there's only one phone number in that whole area code, and that's 710-627-GETS.
It's basically
a national number that's toll-free, and government officials who have this can use this phone number. They call in, they enter their calling card PIN. And in a national emergency, in a crisis, for example, in September 11th, if you were trying to make a call to New York, it would say all circuits are busy now.
Right.
If you had a GETS PIN, you could call to New York, and it would be a priority call, and it would get through the all circuits are busy and actually ring the phone.
But it's a calling card for government only.
It's for government, and also some... There's also some non-government officials that can get the card.
Yeah.
But you have to be, like, really tight with the
government. You have to be really tight. So there's no, like, you know, sign-up form to have.
No.
Free calling plan. Call whenever, even if there's a crisis.
However, an anonymous individual did social engineer a GETS PIN.
Oh, God. Well, see, there you go. More social engineering.
There you go with social engineering. A couple years ago, somebody I know personally, I won't mention their name, social engineered a GETS PIN. And they were able to make... emergency or priority calls.
Yeah.
And the caller ID would show 710-627-GETS. Which is awesome.
Oh my man, yeah. That's awesome.
But anyways, back to TELUS, the company I was talking about.
Yeah.
I was just trying to call my friend Flux for free, and we discovered a billing error where if you called with an Annie fail and told the operator you were calling from a 710 number and placed the call collect, there wouldn't be any rates. Because they didn't have an area for that to set up a geographical rate.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't know what the rates were, and basically it never appeared on the person's phone bill at all.
Right.
Well, during one of these calls that I placed to my friend Flux, he decided to dial *69 to see what the phone number was on it. And the phone number came back as a 710 number that I gave the operator. So I'm like, whoa, I wonder if that's the number being sent as caller ID. And we found out that, yes, indeed, it was the number being sent as caller ID. And so I was like, oh, this is great, but how can I place this call without it being collect so that I can spoof caller ID?
Yeah.
And just off the whim, I picked up the phone. I didn't know what I was going to say. I just held it. Yeah, I just called the operator. I had her call TELUS, which then... saw an Annie fail. She
right.
asked me where I was calling from. I said, ma'am, this is the TELUS technician. You should see an Annie fail on your screen. And she says, yes, actually it says Annie fail on my screen. I go, okay, that's good. okay, I'm going to need you to input this phone number. And I gave her the number that I wanted to spoof. And I said, and I'm going to need you to place a test call to the number that I wanted to call.
Yeah.
And she said, okay, what's the billing for this? I said, there is no billing, ma'am. I'm a technician, and this is just a test call. We're making sure that the trunks in that area are working fine.
Yeah.
And she goes, okay. And she releases the call without billing.
Without billing.
And it just goes through, and the caller ID is spoofed as whatever number I want. And, you know, I brought this up with Kevin Mitnick the first time I ran into him.
Yeah.
At a book signing. I'm like, you know, you wrote this book on social engineering. And in the caller ID spoofing section of your book, you left out the easiest way to spoof caller ID. And he goes, well, what's that? Well, social engineering.
Yeah, exactly.
See, social engineering can get you anything you want.
Spoof calls, free pizza, the works, man.
Yeah, everything. Any information you want.
Eating free pizza while spoofing your friends, you know.
Yeah, seriously, getting personal information on individuals, on companies. Anything you want, you can get through social engineering. Yeah, it's just sad.
You can get personal information.
You know, computer security and telephone security and all that can be upgraded to just where it's locked down. You know, there's always going to be some flaw, some bug in the code or something, some default setting that's going to allow you to hack into something. But even if they were, or if somebody is able to come up with a solution for all this, so that computer security and telephone security is to the max, where everyone's locked out. There is authentication modes that there's no way to get around the authentication, that you would still have social engineering.
Yeah.
There's always going to be some person who's an idiot.
Well, it's that quote. I don't know who wrote this. I don't know who first said that, but it was that it was in someone's signature on the forums a long time ago. Social engineering, there's no patch
for human stupidity.
Right.
There's no patch.
Do you know who first said that?
I have no idea who said that, but it's an awesome quote. And
yeah, it is an awesome quote, and that's true, because, like you said, you can upgrade computers, you can put all this new security and passwords and everything, but all you got to do is just social engineer a person, an actual human being, you know?
Yep.
You're not breaking into anything, you know, with a computer or anything, you're
yeah,
just talking
to them.
Yeah,
because that person has to know how to get in, and if that person knows... And if there's a will, there's a way.
Why bother breaking into the system physically, you know, going through computers, when you just have someone else that actually can have access to it do it for you?
Yeah, definitely.
It's the easy solution. So, social engineering.
In fact, today you placed a social engineer call, Doug.
I did?
Yeah, I believe you did.
For
a certain school.
Oh, yes, that's the best thing. People have talked about this in the forums months and months and months ago. And I've told some people. I've had the PA, the public announcement. The public address extension for the school's PBX. That is the extension to talk all over the entire school, every single intercom speaker in every single classroom. And one of the high schools out here, I've had that code forever. You know, I've tested it. It works. No big deal. I've never done anything stupid with it because you don't want to mess around. Bless you. You don't want to mess around or anything. You don't want to, you know, fuck around with shit like that because those are schools, man. But, I mean, they're the easiest people to social engineer, and I don't want to give out, like, how you can do it, but let me just say, it really is an easy thing to do, because they don't know what the hell's going on. You know, you could just say you're a technician, and they could, you know, give you anything. They don't ask for any kind of identification, you know, it's just, social engineering is a real, that's...
Yeah, in fact...
That's a big hole you got to patch.
Another thing with social engineering is settings. For instance, today in your social engineer call, you used the rain.
Rain as an excuse.
You claim that you were a technician and that...
The system was flooded.
Yeah, that your computers were flooded switch was flooded.
We had to reconfigure everything, you know, yeah.
And, you know, that's another thing that a lot of people talk about social engineering as, you know, people are stupid and, you know, you just make up something to get the information out of them. But settings are also a good way... They come into play with social engineering. For instance, when I was in high school, I had the dial-up number for the district, for the school district.
Right.
But I didn't have a username or password. And, you know, it was HP Unix. I was like, ooh, I don't know how to root this. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I didn't know anything about computers. So I was like, how am I going to get a login for this? So I called up my high school. And I said that I was a technician from the school district.
Uh-huh.
And... This was back in 1999.
Okay.
This was when everyone was freaking out about Y2K. Oh,
oh
the year 2000.
Yes, that's yeah.
And anyone who lived in 1999, the Y2K, you could use that to social engineer anything. anything. All you had to do was call up and say, there's a Y2K bug, we need this. And anyone would give you anything. Anyway, so I called up my school, and I asked for the assistant principal. And I said, ma'am, this is a computer technician from the district, and we were doing some Y2K bug upgrades. We set the clocks forward to 2000, and our system crashed. We're trying to reset everyone's password. We're calling up everyone in the school district. We need your login. We need your username and your password so that we can reset it. If you're logged into the system right now, we suggest you don't log out because it will not work until we reset your password right now, ma'am.
Oh, man.
And so she goes, okay, well, my username is, and my password is this. And I say, okay, we're typing that in. Okay, great. Could you log out of your system, ma'am, and log right back in? And she logs out, and she logs in. And I go, did it work? She goes, yes, it did. I go, okay, ma'am, great. Everything's fixed. And, you know, that was the end of the call.
Yep.
And now I had a brand new login that I could log into the school district. I could look up school district records. I could look up records on anyone in the district, not just at my particular high school, but any student
in the whole district.
And I could change grades and all that. But, of course, I didn't do any of this.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to see if I could get a login.
Just seeing how stupid people are. You know, you don't want to mess around with the system. I'm not just saying that to be safe, people. We don't encourage like people. I'm being serious. You don't want to fuck around.
Yeah.
Especially
in this post-9/11 era.
And especially now with people getting busted for doing things that are legal. You really don't want to mess around.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, it's nothing to be messing around with. You know, with someone with Paris Hilton, I wouldn't personally do that, but I give props to the guy that did that because that's the funniest thing ever. I mean, it's messed up that these celebrities' personal numbers are out there, but at the same time, you got to say that is pretty cool. You know,
But
I feel sorry for the celebrities because now they got to change all their numbers. So it's a two-faced situation.
And T-Mobile's looking into it with their computer forensics team. You know, I'm sorry, T-Mobile, but your computer forensics team can't find a phone call placed to one of your representatives.
Yep.
You know, they can sit there and say, oh, well, it was Paris Hilton's fault. Yeah, somebody knew her password. She must have given it or accidentally got a Trojan virus or something.
Trojan virus.
Well, you know, they're going to make up all kinds of things. People have said it was a blue. You know what? It was T-Mobile who – I bet you anything, it's T-Mobile's fault.
Yeah, it is T-Mobile's fault. And the same thing with a lot of cases where people have gotten in trouble. It's always been the carrier's fault. You know, it's their lack of security, so they're going to, you know, bust someone else to get in trouble, you know. And we all know exactly who we're talking about. That's just how it goes.
Yep, definitely.
So, yeah, with the Paris Hilton thing, people were saying it was Bluetooth, you know. And tell me something. So why do all celebrities have T-Mobile if it's the most number one – it's the number one easiest thing to hack?
Yeah, it's the most insecure thing to hack. I don't know. You know, I think Lance James came up with an idea. Secure Science is supposed to be coming out with a new product or something for celebrities.
Yeah.
They can assess products from vendors before before these celebrities actually accept the product.
And that's the thing, too. I was saying that, yeah, it's kind of cool, but I also said it's messed up at the same time. These celebrities have to change their numbers, so you kind of want them to be secure so this crap doesn't happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's actually a...
If that were to happen to one of us, that would suck, you know?
Yeah, did you see that T-shirt that said, Paris made me change my number? There's a T-shirt out there that says that, I swear.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. But I thought the only reason they have T-Mobile is because of... They get a chunk out of it or something for using T-Mobile.
Paris does do T-Mobile commercials, which is actually even more funnier. Because, I mean, not only is it embarrassing Paris Hilton, which, I mean, she claimed that she was mortified, you know, a month before her BlackBerry got hacked into.
Yep.
And months before that, everyone knew that her voicemail was on default. I'm sorry, that was kind of public knowledge.
Yep.
you know, and... She's just getting owned here.
Yeah.
And it's all T-Mobile's fault, pretty much. I mean, besides it's a combination of T-Mobile having these stupid default settings, and it's also a combination of her stupidity at the same time.
Yep.
But for the most part, it is T-Mobile's fault that all this shit happened.
It is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's – well, that's actually past the show and tell section. But, yeah, social engineering. The book by Kevin Mitnick. The Art of Deception. Do you have you read the book?
Yes, I have, and I would recommend reading that.
Not just because we like Kevin Minnick or anything, but I mean it actually is a good book though.
Yeah, it is. It is actually a good book, and
because that was one book I was gonna think about checking out because I like social engineering. I like to get into it more. You know, I've known quite a few good social engineers that have shocked the hell out of me sometimes. You know, and yeah, social engineering is a really cool thing. So.
Yes, it is.
I'll probably get that book too. So. Buy his book today at your local bookstore.
No, seriously. I mean, before I even met Kevin Mitnick or, you know, I knew about the whole Free Kevin movement, but I wasn't really watching it too close.
Yeah.
And I went out and bought that book just because I personally like social engineering.
Right. You always have.
It's my expertise, and I love it. Right. So I went out and bought the book because I figured, hey, what the hell? Maybe there's something in here that I don't know.
Yeah.
And there was. There was a lot of good social engineering techniques in there that I didn't know. You know, and there were some that were left out, too. But, I mean, that's
right.
Everyone has their own preference when it comes to social engineering. Everyone has their own techniques. Like I said, daylight settings, you know, settings, your surroundings, social environments. You know, all this can come into play with social engineering. You can manipulate things based on your own surroundings.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that book was pretty good. It had a lot of good stories in it. Some of them had me rolling, you know.
Didn't he have another book out besides that
yes,
one?
Yes, I think it just came out this month, actually. The Art of Intrusion.
What's that one about?
About actually hacking into things.
Oh, okay. No one wants to know that.
No, it's actually that one actually looks like it's going to be a pretty good book, too. I read the first chapter about the first chapter was about this software team that reverse-engineered. They actually went out and bought one of those video poker machines, and they reverse-engineered the code, and they found that the random number generator in it had a vulnerability in it. It was a weak random number generator, and they could actually predict what cards were going to be played.
Oh, wow.
And they went out to Vegas and made a lot of money.
Right.
And there's actually someone selling a book now on how to go to Vegas, and you can predict... you know, you can look at the hand and predict what you need to know,
yeah,
and actually make money from the video poker.
Wow, that's almost as good as hacking the lottery.
Yeah. Except the odds are a little bit more in your favor.
All right, well, that's our social engineering section. We're kind of going a different direction because of that email that got us into that whole topic. I'm going to go to the show and tell section. All right, last week I talked about my DV camera, how it's broken. Best Buy is a bunch of noobs, but a friend of mine let me borrow his DV cam, so soon I'll be uploading more Doug TV footage and working on it. You look really laid back there.
How are you going to record on your new DV cam when it has that message about condensation?
I don't know, dude. First off, get close to the mic. Second off...
I'm trying to get laid back here, man.
All right, too close.
All right, sorry about that.
There you go. All right, fair. All right. So, it's been raining really heavy out here, and I don't know how that camera got wet, because it's giving me a moisture warning, blah, 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 every time I put a tape in, it just ejects it right back out. It's not even my camera, and I didn't break it, so I don't know what the hell's wrong with it. But it says, according to the instruction booklet, you got to wait an hour.
Yeah, it's been a little more than an hour.
I've been waiting for, like, 3 hours now, and it's still saying the same error message, so hopefully it's not messed up completely, so I don't know what the hell's wrong with it. If anyone has any advice, send some email to doug@dougtv.org, because I'm screwed. I'll be going to Virginia this Saturday, family bullshit, and then I'll be coming back the second week of March, and then we'll be ready to film, and also do our show, that's right, our radio show.
Virginia's for noobs, dude.
It is. I don't like Virginia. I really don't. But some personal friends of mine, dude, have been coming up to me at, like, Starbucks, the movie theaters, crap like that, being like, oh, so when are you doing your radio show? We're kind of, like, ready. We've been talking about it because I've been talking about it with friends, you know, what we're going to do and stuff. And they've been real – they want to hear bands and crap like that. And I'm just so shocked that people actually care. Like, I've gotten an email about it when I was on VinRev with Stank talking about it, you know. And I'm just shocked that now I'm getting people coming up to me, you know.
Yeah.
Bless you. Talking about
Will you stop blessing me? I'm coughing, not sneezing.
You sneezed last time.
Oh, whatever.
You're still sick?
Yeah, man. It's raining, dude.
So rain doesn't make you sick.
Oh, whatever.
It gives you a shower. I'm just trying to kill time so we get up to 60 minutes.
Oh, whatever.
With this. But yo, I'm seriously, man. I can't believe like all these high school students and friends of mine have been coming up to me like, hey, man, when you're doing your shows, looks really cool. Like this is like completely new to them. You know, they've heard a lot of internet radio shows before. Some of them have heard some of the shows that are on like Rat Radio. I point them to, but a lot of them just aren't interested. You know, they get tired of a lot of it because most of it's just video game shows and hacking shows. You know, and this will be a good change of pace. And there's a lot of, you know, politics shows and. Enough of that crap, man. Just
yeah,
totally
I
about...
mean, like, Geek Love Radio is the only other one that's, like, just stands out. I think that's why it gets so much good... Did you just turn my levels up there or something?
Yeah, you were real quiet. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, anyways. Yeah, Geek Love Radio, I mean, I think the reason it gets so much good ratings is because it's, like... Besides the fact that it's good, I'm not trying to, like, diss them or anything.
Oh, yeah, dude.
But they're the only show like that.
Yeah, that's the one thing I told Sub was that you got a show that no one else has done yet on the internet. You know,
yeah.
Not even just necessarily the internet. No one else has done with geeks and love advice. You know, people have done, you know, Love Line, of course, blah. But, you know, you're dealing with guys that are actually in their 20s that actually are experienced today. You know, not people that are used to be experienced. So it's got a good show. That's why he's getting MTV and crap. You know, have you been to the website?
No, I haven't.
MTVU, I think, .com, the underground MTV, I think it's what it is. They have, on their Valentine's Day, they had some, they linked to geekloveradio.com. So they've been getting a lot of emails from Tech TV and probably MTV now. So he's got a show that's not like any other show. I mean, you got these politics shows. Everyone's doing it. Everyone has their own opinions. No one really cares about them. You got your hacking shows that are real fun. You know, you got this show, of course, Infonomicon, which is really cool because it's just different ways of doing these shows. But Geek Love Radio... It's one of a kind. No one's doing it.
Yeah.
And if anyone did do it, they'd be copying.
And the point I was trying to make is, I mean, I think that's pretty much what the Doug Show is going to be. It's going to be...
It's going to be a bullshit show, man.
It's
you know,
going to be its own show, dude.
We're going to have show notes and actual, you know, it's not going to be like, so we want to talk about, I don't know. It's not going to be like that at all, you know? It probably won't be as organized as this show, because this show is hard to do, but... You know, we're going to have a good time. We're going to have random people calling in. We're going to have the call-in line, 800-70-DOUG. They're going to have a call-in line. You know, it's not going to be pre-screened or anything. Just total random, you know, and not going to hide anything back. There are certain things. We're going to have a 7-second delay, actually, because there's going to be someone that might want to drop some information to someone that we don't need on the air, you know.
Yeah, so we will have a delay in the feed.
It's a live show, and since we will have the call-in line and everything, we're going to have people that are more than welcome to come on into the garage if they want to chill back, you know. It's just going to be fun. And the one thing that a lot of people have gotten a lot of feedback and email about is the GarageBand thing, having these local bands in this area be able to play on the internet and get a bigger audience, you know, and just have their MP3s out there. And
yeah, and we could definitely link them on our website.
We can link them on our website, exactly. We got a thanks to Athnix again, too, for the new system that he programmed from scratch. There's a car horn at the outside.
Yeah, apparently.
But yeah, Athnix, he coded up this PHP news code from scratch. I designed with the layout and everything. But they'll have the GarageBand. We'll have probably like a GarageBand link, and it'll have like crap
yeah,
about.
Yeah, you know what cracks me up about Athnix is he designed the Doug Show site, and
I designed the site. He designed the new system. Get that right.
Oh, okay.
I designed the layout. Sub-Zero did the logo, and Athnix did the new system, and I took the gallery code from one of those free PHP scripts. I forget who made it. Right.
Oh, okay, because I thought Athnix had actually designed the site.
No. I designed the site.
I was like, dude. Your site looks way better than Athnix's. No offense there, but I was like, how is your site, like, better?
It's like you do better on other people's site, where your site's just, like, black. And well, that's the one thing. I get tired of a lot of sites that are always, like, white on black, you know, because they always look the same. And I wanted to – I get tired of the black background. Plus, I don't want it to think, like, oh, it's the hacker-like kind of show. I don't want it to be like that at all. I mean, we're probably not going to do anything really hacking or – tech-related. We'll probably do a lot of phone shit, because that's who we are. We love phones. We'll probably do social engineering on that show, too, you know?
Yeah.
We'll probably just have a... We're just gonna fuck around and have a good time, is what it's gonna be about.
Yeah, it might not be the type of social engineering that people are expecting.
Yeah. But I mean, we're gonna have
it
fun.
It might be like there's screwing gonna... around with some guy's girlfriend.
Well, we're gonna do crap like that, you know? And I want girls in this, you know, high school chicks in here, you know, and talk with them, and... You know, anywhere from, you know, discussions with teenage life of people, even teen sex, you know, school in general. It's just going to be, there's going to be so much crap. You know, even prank calls. If there's, like, good prank calls that we've heard, we'll play it on the show. Maybe do one live on the spot, see how good, call random people internationally, you know, once in a while. But, I mean, it's the kind of show I would love to do every day, but we're not getting paid, so I am not going to do it. There's no time for that, you know.
Yeah.
But once a week's good, and the reason why I picked Thursday is because it's Thursday, you know, it's... It's Thursday. I don't know what the hell that means. It's not Friday where everyone's going to be gone. But Thursday's like the day before.
It's like the Friends night, dude. Except Friends isn't here anymore. So
now we
got the Doug show.
But yeah, we're probably going to go like 4 or 3 Pacific. We're not really sure what the exact time is. I forget. But Thursday, it's the day before the weekend party days start. So hopefully Thursday will be big. And plus all the other networks I've talked to with Rant Radio, they don't have a show on that slot. So that's why we have it.
Right on.
But there's so much more to talk about. You know, I talk to so much people about my everyday bullshit, and why not just do it on the radio, you know?
Yeah, and definitely.
You know, but there's also a lot of crap that you go through.
I do?
You do. I mean, you talk about it. You have some funny stories, and why not talk about it on the radio? We don't have default radio anymore, so why not do it on a show like this that we're going to – not this show here, but a show we're going to be doing and just talk about, you know, you're a pizza deliverer. I'm sure you have interesting stories.
Yeah.
You do pizza delivering, you know. So, by the way, when do you want to do next default? We got to do one.
You know, people keep messaging me, and they're like, when's the next
Havoc
default? No, not Havoc.
I haven't gotten an IM from Havoc in a while.
Yeah, I wonder what that kid's up to.
Yeah.
I think he thinks we hate him. Dude, Havoc, we love you, dude.
Yeah, hopefully I think he listens to this show. I think he discovered us from, I think Dakota went on like some Poland forums. I'm not really sure how he discovered this, though. But no, Havoc's a cool dude. He always used to send in articles for us, and he gets the show going. Like, he was the reason why there was content most of the time.
Yeah,
like, he gave us news articles, and we discussed about it, you know, especially when it was just you and me for the longest time, you know. That was the hardest part.
Yeah, and, well, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I think you and me will probably do good on the Doug show, but default radio?
It's a harder show because you have to stick to one topic. The nice thing about our show is...
Well, not one topic, but one category.
One category. But with our show, it's a whole bunch of categories. That's the kind of show I've always wanted to do.
Variety.
I've always wanted a generic radio talk show program of just whatever. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to give a shit, but I really don't care. It's my show.
Yeah, this is Doug's show.
I was thinking about Doug and Lucky, but, you know, if Lucky were to leave, they would be annoying. And Doug and Lucky just looks funny. And
if people want to bitch about it, you know what? They can make their own show.
And the best is Decoder calls me a narcissist because of Doug TV and the Doug show. But it's like, whatever, dude. It's my show. I don't care. You know? And it's better than coming up with some fancy name.
Well, anyways, speaking of default radio, I mean, that's what I'm saying is the reason we haven't done a default is because, I mean, to be honest, Decoder's who kept the show going.
Yeah.
You know, Decoder and Havoc sending in content. Decoder is like the main host on that show. I mean,
that was the one thing with the Mind War. When we stopped doing the Mind War, was he was like, you should just continue doing it with Rigel, or, you know, find another host. And I was like, dude, with default you can kind of have another host. You know, you can have Lucky, because default is the kind of show where Decoder did make it big. You know, it was all about Decoder. But I mean, it did do pretty well afterwards. You know, we had some good episodes with people at Hope and stuff. We still continue it, but it wasn't the same without Decoder. And with the Mind War, I said, the Mind War especially, it's all about your opinions and your rants. You can't put some conservative republic on that show, you know, totally changing the format of it, you know, because it just wouldn't work. And it's the kind of show that you can come up with on the spot of things to say. You can have news stories. With me and Rigel, just like, we're reading the news, this is what's going on, you know, it wouldn't be the same without Decoder.
Yeah.
And Default Radio, we can do a couple episodes here and there, but we could not do a weekly show of Default Radio without him. And
yeah, definitely.
We tried to for the longest time. We did pretty well, I think.
Until Decoder's justice is until Decoder comes to justice and they release him finally, hopefully.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know about that yet, but yeah, he's in jail.
Yeah, he's in jail, and when he gets out, you know, maybe there'll be another default radio. Maybe not. Maybe he'll be too scared. I don't know.
I don't know. We don't really know. But until then, we do our best for him. And you know, and Decoder's known I wanted to do my own show since June of last year, you know. And I told him I would still do default, I would still record it and everything, you know, we'd still try. But around September, me especially, it was just kind of like, you know what, this is getting to be this. We were thinking about doing the default in our studio here, but I was just like, this is a pain in the ass show to do because it's always about one category, and that's not my kind of show, you know.
Yeah.
Like this show, I couldn't do the show on my own without having a co-host or having actual notes to talk about that, you know, emails and whatnot. So it's a hard thing to do, and that's why with my show it's going to be about everything.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
One thing cool about the show. It's going to be videotaped. It'll be videotaped for Internet TV. Not to be confused with DuckTV. Completely different thing. It might be confusing. DuckTV is still going to be DuckTV the way it is, but we're also going to have the Duck Show. Just if we have certain guests or bands playing, it'll be, you know, taped as well and up for download so you can watch it too and listen to it. You won't be able to listen to the whole show via tape because that's just boring watching us on mics, you know, talking. But if we have an interesting guest, you know, we'll do the whole late night style thing. Maybe I'll rearrange the couch and everything and get the pencils and index cards and everything. But when we have bands playing and guests, we'll have a camera set up for, there's going to be four cameras, so we'll have different angles and everything. So, yeah, it'll be video. Duck Show's going to kick ass.
Yes, it is.
It'll last a month.
I'll give it to you.
Plus, the main most important thing with this new audience we're going for, I want to get the general public into Elite Speak. Because even though we're not going to have the hacker audience, we're still going to talk the way we do. I think it'll be, that way when I go in public and I say fear and oh, and they won't look like I'm, you know, insane or something.
Yeah, you know, one thing I didn't mention when we were talking about the Paris Hilton hack.
Okay.
Just the...
All right, we're winding back here.
Yeah, we're reverting back a little bit. One thing I didn't mention was Paris Hilton had my K7 voicemail box in her notes.
All right. Let me explain this part right here. I was going through her notes, because like everyone else, don't admit you didn't do it to people, but you were going through the notes and you were seeing all these numbers and stuff written down, seeing if there's anything interesting.
Yeah, like Pauly Shore's number was Pauly in Shore, the notes, you know, not in the address book.
Yeah, it was in the notes. You found some interesting things in the notes, and I was just scrolling down, and this number I come across was a 206 K7 voicemail box, and it said Luck in it. And I was like, that's Lucky's voicemail box. And I called him up right away, and I was like, dude, did you, like, hack the website to have her, like, your number in there like you're somebody? And you're like, what? But anyways, why was your voice... Or no, continue your story.
Yeah, well, my voicemail number was actually in there, because on October 23rd, that's when the note was. And this came a couple days... the phone number appeared a couple days before the Security Focus article, which came out on October 28th, the T-Mobile voicemail advisory
right. That
was on Security Focus, basically that said, you know, caller ID spoofing lets you into T-Mobile messages.
Yeah.
But anyways, I had left her a voicemail, and I said, you know, you're using T-Mobile, it's insecure, people can get into your voicemail box. You know, I'm all, if you want to discuss this further, you can give me a call back. And I gave her my voicemail, 206-666-LUCK, L-U-C-K. And that's how I said it on the voicemail. And apparently she took note of it. And it was actually in her Sidekick.
But she never left you a message.
No. She never actually called my K7 voicemail back. But she did actually put it in her notes. And I immediately started receiving a lot of voicemail
when
Paris Hilton hack came out.
Right.
And, you know, and so I changed the greeting, and I'm like, yo, you've reached Lucky's voicemail. If you got this out of Paris Hilton's notes, I'm fearing. And I actually said I'm fearing on the greeting.
Yeah.
Because I thought only phone freaks would have noticed that number, but... People from all over the country are calling my voicemail.
Dude, yeah, because everyone, like, not even just hackers, everyone's looking at this website. You know, they type Paris Hilton in Google, I'm sure it comes up somewhere. But, I mean, everyone's looking at it, and they're calling all these celebrities and numbers, and they probably think, oh, this Luck guy, this must be a celebrity or some kind of Hollywood backdoor access or something, you know?
Yeah, it's just my voicemail.
And just a voicemail box, you know, so...
Which is probably full. I probably got to delete all these messages when I get home now.
Yeah, I think that was just the funniest thing ever.
Yeah, definitely.
And then there's that guy on the forum. You know Paris Hilton? Hey, I have a question for you. I want you to ask her this for me. So I thought that was great.
Yeah, a lot of people are thinking that I know her and stuff. All
I told you, man, you should have just replied saying, my personal relation with Paris Hilton is confidential.
People
faking that. That would have been the best thing ever. So the show topics, social engineering, Paris Hilton fears.
Yeah, we're in a show and tell right now. That was part of my show and tell.
Okay, more show and tell there, Lucky. What's going on
with you?
More
show and tell. Well, as you know, Doug, on the 19th, Saturday the 19th, I was pulled over on Riverside by a Chino police officer.
Okay. Why is the Chino on Riverside Drive?
Yes, on Riverside Drive.
All right.
I was allegedly violating the California Basic Speed Law, Vehicle Code 22350.
Only Lucky can do that. Name someone else that knows every penal code in their head.
Hey, this is a vehicle code, not a penal code.
A vehicle code, whatever. You know all of them, though. Anyways, go ahead.
Well, I'm always getting cited for them, so what do you expect?
Yeah, you got to memorize them by now, but anyways.
So this cop cites me for speeding, and I sign it the usual way, all rights reserved. The one thing I forgot to do, which I promised myself to do this the next time I get pulled over.
Right.
I forgot to do this. I'll remember it the next time I get pulled over, because I know there will be. When you get pulled over by a police officer in California, you have the right to request a change of venue. Basically, because on my license, it only has my P.O. box. It doesn't have my physical address.
Which is cool, but anyway.
Yeah, because the first thing a cop says when he pulls me over is, "Do you still live at..." And then he goes, "Oh, I guess that's your mailing address." He goes, "Is that where you want us to mail the courtesy notice?" I'm all, "Yeah." And so they never even asked for my physical address.
P.O. Box 1111, Guasti, California, 1743.
Well, anyway, so... what I was supposed to ask the cop is for a change of venue. If you live or work closer to the county seat of the court, which the county seat, I think, for San Bernardino is in San Bernardino or something like that.
Yeah.
You can request that your court case be held there instead of right here in Chino. And I forgot to tell that to the cop, which was my bad. But that's one thing you can do to try and get out of a ticket, because the cop isn't going to want to drive all the way out to San Bernardino. So the chances are more likely that he won't appear.
Yeah.
Anyways, so this guy writes me up the ticket, he hands it to me, and I'm on my merry way. Well, I had to go to work. After work, I look at the ticket, and I notice something on it. The date says February 20th, which is Sunday. But he wrote it to me on the 19th. So I'm like, well, I can't plead guilty to a... I wasn't speeding on the... I was not speeding on the 20th, which is the date of violation he put on this ticket. So I can't plead guilty to this, because I wasn't speeding on the 20th.
Right.
So I actually called up a notary. I Googled for a notary at 11 o'clock at night. I found as soon as possible notary in Chino Hills. And this lady's great. She met me at Denny's and actually notarized the document that basically this document says the officer handed me the ticket on the 19th and is citing that I was speeding on the 20th. And the notarization is dated the 19th. So I can actually prove that I got the ticket the day before. So on my trial by declaration, I'm just going to say I plead not guilty. And my reason is, the officer could have had no way of knowing if I was speeding or not on the 20th when he wrote me the ticket on the 19th.
That's funny.
Well, I mean, he's saying the crime occurred on the 20th.
Yeah, that's
it
true.
It did not occur on the 20th.
Yeah.
If there was a crime at all, by the way. This is all alleged.
Well, we don't know if he really did speed, but...
Which I was not.
Okay, sure.
And if I was, it wasn't a violation of the basic speed law. It was at least safe to do so.
Oh, man.
Anyways, besides that, I don't got much other show and tell. Oh, there was that delivery show and tell that when you went on a delivery with me the other day.
Oh, yeah, this goes back to social engineering, dude.
Yeah.
When I was riding with Lucky, I was bored. It was raining.
I
wasn't fearing the rain, but... It was raining, and I rode with Lucky for a delivery, a couple of deliveries, actually, that time.
And yeah, and...
one of them was a gated community.
Yeah, it was an apartment complex, and as you know, I know how to break into a lot of apartment complex gate entry systems. They're usually all on default.
Right.
This particular one was an elite gate entry system, and the customer had not put the gate code in, so I didn't know what the code was to enter into the gate, and their phone number was disconnected. So I couldn't call them to ask for the gate code.
Yep.
So we needed a way. It was raining. There were no cars coming. It was late at night. It was raining. We needed a way to get into this community without waiting for another car, because this person wants their pizza now, not 30 minutes when another car comes by, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we were waiting. We were waiting for a little bit, though. No one was coming through.
Yeah, exactly. So what I do, I decided to start calling random people in the apartment complex.
Yep.
And We got one person answered. And
some poor old lady.
Yeah, some poor old lady. And I told her, "Hi, ma'am, this is John from Verizon. We're testing your phone lines out here in the rain. If you could just press the 9 key for me so that we can make sure that everything's working, that'd be great." She goes, "Oh, yeah, certainly." And she presses the 9 key, and of course, as everyone knows, on most gate entry systems, that's to buzz you in. So as soon as she hit 9, access granted, and the gate opens, and we go into the gated community.
Dude, the best part was right when you said that, she was like, "Sure, I'd be happy to." You know, she was so happy to help somebody.
Yeah, that's another...
Help an elite hacker to get into an apartment complex. That's like talking to a burglar, though. "Sure, I'd be happy to let you in and rob the place," you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just can't believe people. They live in a gated community, and they're the easiest thing to break into.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know, man. But is that it for show and tell?
I think that's it for my show and tell.
You still delivering pizzas?
I am delivering pizzas.
Since last week.
I may be getting a new job in the future doing PBX programming. That's just a maybe.
That's a maybe?
It's in the works right now.
Anyone we know? Is this locally here? Or?
Yeah, it's for a local business. I'll leave it a mystery right now.
But that's it, right?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, then.
That's it for show and tell.
Well, we actually hit an hour. Hey, we actually made it.
Well, we actually made 60 minutes.
We actually made 60 minutes.
Wow. Now I don't have to hear Stank Dog calling me up, bitching me. "Why didn't Doug do the show? Why isn't it 60 minutes? I don't know. I'm not Doug's keeper. But anyway. I'm not
Doug's keeper. That's why I have you as my co-host, so he can yell at you. Shouts. Lucky, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. Got to give a shout.
This isn't on the notes. You have to comb it in your head.
Oh, it's not on the notes?
You're looking at the notes like, shit, where's the shout?
Hey, you didn't write my shouts down, dude.
All right, go.
Hello?
Yeah, shouts.
Are we on there?
We're
on there. Okay.
We're being recorded, yeah, shouts.
Okay. So, anyways, my shouts would be going out to Decoder and Havoc, definitely. You know, these are people that we mentioned during the show.
Right.
Also, my shouts this week will go to Natus, Lance James, and Kevin Mindick.
Which is, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to give all my shouts to those people.
Wasn't that you?
And whoever hacked Paris Hilton's sidekick, that's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. My shouts go to Dual Parallel.
Oh, yeah.
Dual Parallel
about him.
He is the man.
He is the man.
Nick 84 too, dude.
You took my shout, man.
You said you were finished. Nick 84, man. That guy wrote all those show notes for Default Radio. Well, at least episodes 5 is not the first like 3 we did. He didn't obviously. The Decoder did those, but he got tired of them. But Nick 84 volunteered to do it, and he always wrote show notes. He did it nicely, had links and everything. And then when we did the Mind War, I asked him, you know, if he wouldn't mind doing it, and he wasn't doing much, so. You know, he took. I appreciate Nick 84 for that, and I always have. And he actually wrote notes.
Hardworking guy.
He wrote notes for our last week's show that hasn't even been up for download yet. So, the Nick 84, he's a great man. Maybe he'll write notes for the Doug Show. Maybe. But another shout, of course, to Decoder, which you already said so. But yeah, Decoder's the man. He's a man. And again, shout to Stank Dog for letting me fill in for these 2 weeks. Good trust.
You call that a shout?
Well,
just kidding.
But Stank Dog's the man, all right. I can't believe he lets of all people, he lets Doug fill in for his show. Now, obviously, I wasn't his first choice. Voodoo left, you know, but he was busy to do it. But seriously, though, thanks, Stank Dog, you know, for letting me fill in, and you know, not someone like Lucky, of course, but I'm just messing around.
Jeez, I wonder how far down I was on the list.
But I mean, no, it's a trust. It's a hard show to do, especially with me since I'm a noob when it comes to hacking. But you know, and thanks to you, Lucky, for being in these 2 weeks since no one else wanted to do it with me.
Yeah, no,
it's not, that's not really true. Actually, I just wanted you on the first week, and this week it was just pushing the timing, you know, with the schedule. And we're recording the show right before I have to stream the show.
Yeah.
So it's,
which is gonna be hard.
Been tough time. No, we don't have to do anything. We didn't clown around like we did last week.
Hopefully.
So.
I can drive home and get the outro music to you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That'll be a special surprise.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Of course, Stank Dog will be here next week. So, no more me. Yay.
Yep.
Email us at radio@binrev.com. And that's it. Stay Dog will be here next week. So see you then. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.
What a noob.
This is for the hackers and crackers. Cause there ain't no encryption that can get past it. Light up them pewters, cause it's going down. Ain't no keygen generated now. It's a new style that's going on. It's all a key catcher, and listen to the song. Once upon a time, not long ago, I crept up in the back door to learn a little more. I needed to know about the land, the sand, and how the packets float. Is it encrypted or is it not? My guess was yes, but it was a long shot. After a second, I sat and stopped. The receptionist came in at 6 and couldn't resist some early morning muffins, complimented from his hacker. This is for the hackers and crackers, cause there ain't no encryption that can get past it. Little did she know, I had plans to jack her and this whole entity. It was a deep urge that fulfilled me to crack this network in pieces, to leave the knock engineers with no pieces to this mystery that crushed all their hard work and misery. But listen, B, I'm here to tell you how to stop a reoccurring hack from ever happening again. Everyone on my team is here to win. When you see us in the AOL chat room, leave us alone and we won't come invade your home, let alone workplace. I think I said enough, I'm done. This is for all of us slacking IT staff members. The war has just begun.